Welcome to the IYBA's podcast channel, powered by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. Each week, we release discussions from our past conferences, summits, and educational events specifically related to the yacht brokerage community. With more than 1,800 members and growing, the International Yacht Brokers Association, IYBA, is the world's largest and most influential association for the yacht brokerage and charter industry. IYBA is dedicated to professionalism and ethics in all aspects of yacht transactions. This week, our segment comes from Yacht Engineering Week 2021.
I'm here at Elite Marine Air Conditioning, where Paul has sent me on a special expedition to have a crash course on everything I can learn about air conditioning with Ben Copenhafer. He's waiting for me inside. Nice. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hey, Heather. How are you?
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So Paul has sent me to learn everything I can about air conditioning, and you're the expert, I've heard.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we talk about the fundamentals first, and then we'll look at some equipment.
Okay. Let's do it.
Come on in.
Thank you very much.
So I've queued up just a quick diagram.
Okay.
So every air conditioning system in the world, whether it's on a yacht, a house, a building, they all have four major components. And what we're trying to do basically is actually move heat from one space to somewhere else that we don't want it.
Okay.
So every system's gonna have a compressor, a condenser, a metering device, an evaporator. In yachting, we're gonna use seawater typically to cool the condenser. And then the evaporator is going to transfer or absorb heat out of the yacht into the refrigerant and then go back to the compressor, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Okay.
All right. Simple, right?
Seems like it. Let's take a look at an actual unit, though.
Okay.
Do you have some of those here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why don't I take you over to Southern Marine Supply.
Okay.
And that's where we distribute equipment, and we'll show you some new stuff there.
Okay, great. Beautiful facility you have here.
Thank you. So Southern Marine is where we inventory brand new equipment for Elite Marine as well as other dealers to buy for the local area.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's three different types of marine AC systems. They're gonna be a self-contained unit. That's gonna be for your smaller boats, 30 to 50 feet.
Okay.
And a self-contained unit's gonna have all four of those major components. Do you remember what they are?
No.
Okay. Compressor, condenser, evaporator, metering device.
That's right.
So everything is self-contained. These are great because, you know, they're easier to install. They don't require, you can have your do-it-yourselfers occasionally install those. But there is some compromises. They do make more noise because they're going to be located in the cooled space or the conditioned space, so it could be under the master bedroom, for example, and it's going to make a little bit more noise because the compressor is located inside the cabin.
I see. Okay, so what are the four parts again, and where are they at?
So condenser, this is where
it's
we're
right
going
here.
To.
Okay.
We're going to remove the heat. We're going to put the heat into the seawater, and that's going to go overboard.
Okay.
The evaporator is where we're going to absorb the heat from the boat, and the compressor is going to circulate the refrigerant, and then the metering device is going to change the refrigerant from a high pressure liquid to a low pressure liquid.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Got
that's
it.
Going to be between the condenser and the evaporator.
Okay.
All right.
And then what other types of systems
do
we have here?
The next type of system is going to be for your mid-range boats, you know, boats 50 to 80 feet. And in this case, they're putting the compressor and the condenser in the engine room or a generator room to get the noise away from the cabin. And then refrigerant lines are ran through the boat to the evaporator, which is going to be located in each cabin. So in this case, your evaporator and your metering device are on the air handler, and then the other two components are located in the engine room. And the benefit of this is, again, not as much noise in the space, but the disadvantage is if you lose, you know, your compressor for your master stateroom, that room no longer has any air conditioning.
I see.
Whereas with chilled water, which is the next thing we're going to talk about, you can lose a compressor and still have some redundancy built in. So this is going to be for, you know, again, your boat's 50 to 75, 80 feet. And then the chilled water system is more of the 80 feet and above. You'll have, this is more of a hydronic system. So what that means is, instead of sending refrigerant throughout the boat, we're going to send chilled water throughout the boat.
Okay. What's the benefit of that?
So the benefit of that is you can have, let's say, two or three of these chillers in the engine room, and all three chillers are working on cooling the same chilled water loop. They're working together as a team.
Okay.
The chilled water gets circulated through the boat, and then there's some redundancy built in. So if, let's say, compressor number one fails, compressor number two and three are still continuing to cool the loop, the master stateroom is still getting air conditioning.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So there could be two or three of these on a single boat.
Yep, could be four, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you say the average is per boat?
I would say three or four.
Okay.
It's pretty common, yeah. We like to size it so that you could lose a full chiller for maintenance or, you know, failure and still have enough capacity to cool the boat.
Okay. And is this the new most popular system out
there?
Yeah,
it is. So one of the most... one of the things that's nice about the new systems is they're all using titanium condensers now versus what was formerly used, which is Cooper nickel. So it's two different types of metal. And remember, the condenser is where the seawater is passing through.
Right.
So Cooper nickel was a good material. It just is more susceptible to erosion and premature failure. So when the Cooper nickel fails, the refrigerant would leak out, and then seawater would get into the chiller, and the entire chiller would be trashed.
Okay.
So it was a big expense, big inconvenience. And so now a lot of the manufacturers are using titanium condenser coils, and they're extremely resilient and to seawater, as you can imagine.
What would you say the average maintenance or lifeline of one of these systems would be like?
I would say previously 5 to 10 years with Cooper nickel. Titanium has been out about 3 years, 4 years now.
Okay.
So we're probably going to see some chillers lasting 15, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. And with that, I'm sure, comes regular maintenance?
Correct. Yeah. So it is still going to have seawater growth and scaling.
Sure.
So every 6 months, we're recommending to flush out the condensers with an acid, a mild acid, to remove any growth in the chiller.
Okay, and then do you have to take this whole unit out of the boat to do that?
No, you don't. You would just disconnect the seawater connections, and then connect your descaling kit to the condenser that way.
Okay.
And then there's also some other maintenance that I would say is more weekly: cleaning the sea strainer to make sure there's good seawater flow going through the system. Checking hose clamps for any loose connections. In a chilled water loop, remember there's a second loop of water going through the boat. It's a freshwater loop. We just want to make sure there's a glycol mixture in that loop to protect the chiller.
Okay, and what does that do?
So the glycol prevents spot freezing, because remember our evaporator's here, we've got very cold refrigerant here, and then we've got water flowing past it. If the water flow is obstructed, it could slow down and you could get spot freezing of the water.
Oh, okay.
Which could escalate to a domino effect.
Okay.
And we don't want to see that, because then the water freezes, it expands, and then this cracks. So that's why we like to see glycol in the loop, the chilled water loop.
Okay, great. I'd love to see units that you've pulled off of boats. I think you have some.
Yeah, we do. We have some systems that just came off a boat. We could show you some air handlers and some chillers that just came off a boat that are getting replaced.
Okay, let's go take a look.
All right, very good.
All right, so where are we now?
So now we're in the Elite Marine shop. This is equipment we just pulled off a boat. We're getting ready to refit the equipment. The equipment has reached its economical lifespan, and we're putting brand new equipment in the boat.
Okay, so what kind of systems are these?
So this is that third type of system, which is the chilled water type of system. So in this case, we had three chillers in the engine room. They were all working together to recirculate a chilled water loop through the boat. That chilled water loop was going to about, I think, 14 air handlers. There's some more over here as well.
Wow.
But here's a couple of examples of the air handlers. So the water was actually traveling through this air handler. When the control inside of the cabin decided it needed to cool the cabin space down, it'll open this valve, let some chilled water through the coil. That allows this blower to pass air across the coil, absorb some heat from the water, or I'm sorry, absorb some heat out of the air into the water, and then the water goes back to the chiller plant. So all three of these chillers would then see that water, and it would absorb that heat out of the water, put it into the condenser coil via the refrigerant, and then overboard.
Wow.
Yeah, lots of moving parts here. Yeah.
A lot of moving parts, and I'm still trying to grasp this, so let's break it down a little bit more piece by piece.
Let's go back to the refrigerant circle.
Let's do that. So what exactly is the refrigerant itself?
So the refrigerant is a chemical that has a pressure-temperature relationship.
Okay.
So at any given pressure, there's a guaranteed temperature that the refrigerant will be. So inside of this refrigeration circuit, there's no air, there's no water, there's no moisture, it's just refrigerant. And what the compressor's doing is it's just recirculating that refrigerant through those four major components. And what we're trying to do is absorb heat from the evaporator, which in this case is here, and then shed the heat into the condenser, which is here, going overboard. That's where the seawater comes in.
Okay, so the refrigerant is a chemical. I've heard of like Freon, is that?
Yeah, Freon was a brand name, but it became sort of the Kleenex of refrigerant.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a brand name for R12, which is no longer in use. But yeah, Freon's a common way to describe refrigerant.
Okay, so it's just a chemical that is cold? Or
well, it's not cold until it gets compressed.
I see.
And then goes through the metering device, and that metering device changes its temperature, or pressure rather, and therefore the temperature drops.
Okay, so it's a process.
Yeah. So that refrigerant, let's say there's 1 pound, or let's say, 24 ounces or 16 ounces of refrigerant fluid inside this system. It recirculates for 10, 15 years, however long this chiller lasts.
Oh, wow, okay. That was gonna be my next question.
Yeah, it's the same refrigerant going back and forth.
Okay, so you can reuse it, unlike coolant and
cars,
like that.
Because it's not exposed to the atmosphere like coolant and so forth, it's locked in here, assuming there's no leaks, which we don't want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't like expire or evaporate or anything?
Nope.
Okay, very cool.
In fact, there's also oil inside of the compressors, just like there's oil in your engine.
Mm-hmm.
However, oil in your engine will get dirty because it's got combustion and outside air coming in and out, whereas this refrigerant circuit has no outside air coming in or out. In a perfect world.
Yeah. And then what if there is? Then we have problems?
If there is, so let's say the condenser coil ruptures and seawater gets in, then we have to totally flush out the whole refrigerant circuit. We can't have any air, moisture, non-condensables in that system.
Okay.
It has to be just purely refrigerant.
Okay, so is that what happened in these systems?
Yeah, one of these three systems, I think, had a rupture. The boat's going through an extensive refit right now. They're reconfiguring the location of the chillers and the space available to it. And we're also adding additional air handlers to the boat to provide more cooling in different spots of the boat, which is going to require more capacity, and therefore we're going to need more chiller capacity. So,
all right.
Yeah.
And then what are these units right here?
So these are old pumps that came off the boat. One was circulating chilled water through that chilled water loop. And then the other was circulating seawater, drawing it out from underneath the boat, sending it through the condensers in the engine room and the chillers, and then back overboard.
Okay. Yeah. So this one was the seawater.
Yeah.
And this one wasn't.
Correct.
Okay.
This was the chilled water, yeah.
Yeah, you can see the difference in corrosion there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else have we got today?
The other thing I was going to talk to you about is how could we have prevented some of these air handlers from getting moldy and so forth. So if you take a look at the inside of some of these, there's lots of mold and dust inside of it. And one of the ways we could have prevented that from happening is using better air filtration, which is something like this. It's got two layers, collects a lot more dust. And mold, you know, dust is a food source for mold, and so we want to eliminate that. The other thing mold really enjoys is humidity. So the more humidity inside of a boat, I don't know if you've ever been in a boat and it smelled a little bit musty or moldy.
Yeah.
That's because probably the humidity level of the boat is high. So what I always recommend is customers buy an inexpensive hygrometer. I think this one was $20 on Amazon. You put it in a couple spaces in the boat and it'll show you the moisture level of the cabin.
Oh, so it's 49% humid in here?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
And so what we want to see to prevent mold is anything less than 60%.
Okay.
Yeah. So mold, like I said, they love dust. It loves dust and it loves moisture.
Okay.
So between filtration and moisture control, we can keep it under control. One of the ways that we keep the moisture down is a couple different ways. The customer could go and buy standard dehumidifiers. They're kind of bulky and ugly. The other way is we now have new controls that we can install in each cabin. And what the controls do is they will actually, as they're cooling, they will pulse the heat strip inside the air handlers. And what that does is it actually keeps the cooling process lasting longer, which brings even more moisture out of the air, which then in turn keeps that moisture level below 60%.
Okay, so 60% is the sweet spot that we want to stay below.
Below, correct.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Now what happens if we see something above 60?
Above 60 for a long time, you're gonna start to see, you're gonna have odors, you're gonna have mold begin to form. And once it gets in these air handlers, it's very difficult to get back out. A lot of times the air handler would have to come off the boat.
Like it is now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then be, you know, mechanically cleaned, which is a messy process and labor intensive.
So is that what all of these units are
going
through
now? In this case,
now?
Because of the age and the fact that we want to put new air handlers with the heat strips integrated, because we're putting the new controls in to keep that moisture level, it was more economical to replace them. Additionally, there's an option to have a built-in UV light. And so this customer wants the built-in UV light. They want the integrated heat so they could do the moisture control. And so therefore it was just more practical to replace them in this case.
Okay.
These were about 10 years old, which they could last longer, but you know, like I said, with all the options, it just didn't make sense.
Okay, interesting. So now you mentioned the musty or kind of like humid smell when mm-hmm. you walk into an older boat. Is there a way to get rid of that once it's already there, or at that point, is it kind of too far gone?
Yeah, going and attacking that moisture right away would be good. And then finding the areas where you did get some growth and unfortunately cleaning them is really the only way to deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So some tips for brokers, I would say probably buy one of these.
Yeah. I mean, buy one of these. If the boat doesn't have the integrated moisture control, try to hide some dehumidifiers just to keep that moisture level down. If the unit has the reusable, washable air filters in them, yank those out and put some good filters in. This has carbon in there, so that helps with the smell as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But you want a filter that's going to capture the dust. And unfortunately, filters that capture dust have to be thrown away, just like in your house. You can't
right.
you can't wash out your house filter. So you're going to want, you know, a nice filter and some moisture control right away if you have that happen.
So these are the good filters that you suggest?
Yeah, these are called carbonate. Again, it's got a MERV 8 rated filter media on it, and then we also, there's also some carbon as well to help with the odors.
Great.
And I think these are made to fit in pretty much every size air handler. So for example, this one I think fits easily in there.
Oh, I see.
And then if you have them changed once a month, they're gonna help protect the air handler and the boat.
Okay, so you would need one of those for each.
Correct.
One
yep.
of these. Does that get expensive, or are they relatively not that expensive?
They're about on par with your residential filters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other tips for brokers?
The other tips I would say is just keeping an eye on that seawater circuit, making sure the strainer's getting cleaned, and having the annual or semi-annual maintenance done. On the condensers, and it's going to make the system work a whole lot better.
Okay, great. Well, all thank right. you, Ben. Do
no
you have
problem.
Any other final words for us?
That's it.
All right. Well, all thank right. you very much.
No problem.
I appreciate the crash course on air conditioning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast series has been brought to you by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. New episodes are released every Tuesday. If you are a yachting professional and you'd like to become a member, go to www.iyba.org and sign up either as a broker or an affiliate member. We look forward to seeing you at our next event. For more information, go to www.iyba.org and click on Events.